Okay, thanks, Paul, and thanks to the Infection Control Nurses Association for inviting me to speak today. And hello and welcome to everyone listening. I'm aiming to talk for about 45 minutes to leave time for some questions at the end. Just to fill you in on my background is as an infection control nurse specialist, and I left practice and became a university lecturer to put together a specialist practitioner course. This was initially delivered face-to-face in the classroom, but was then written into open distance learning in the form of a paper pack supported on the web. Since then, I've become more and more interested in and enthusiastic about electronic learning, particularly in infection control, and hope to share today some of the ways it can be used for the benefit of infection control practice. The use of information and communications technology in infection control education is now widespread and has many possibilities that I think we should embrace, ranging from a simple wash your hands screensaver on a hospital intranet to, as Paul has pointed out, this at a global teleclass. What I want to look at in this presentation is how ICT can be used as an educational tool to actively teach, and in doing so, to improve knowledge and skills, change attitudes, and thus change practice. And I'm going to illustrate this with examples of what's happening in infection control education in Scotland that I've been involved with. So moving on to the next slide. Learning via electronic media is often called e-learning. There are now many electronic packages available on infection control topics like decontamination. But these don't always harness the full benefits of e-learning, which I see as a potential for interaction. Interaction with the material, interaction with the teaching team, and interaction with fellow students. And this potential for interaction is what's really exciting about the use of information and communications technology in education. On the next slide are examples of e-learning programs in Scotland. Firstly, information. We have the potential to deliver vast amounts of information through the ever-increasing availability of technology, but that won't necessarily change practice. What's important is the right message reaching the right people in a way that allows them to learn. And this can be very effective. E-learning is often seen as a second-class substitute to face-to-face teaching for people who are out at a distance. I'd argue that it can be better than in the classroom if it's used well. And this is particularly where ICT is used as a tool to enable people to communicate. The two examples I've chosen illustrate good practice in e-learning, which I hope will demonstrate many of the things that can be done with ICT and perhaps give people some ideas of things to try. In the first example, which is the Cleanliness Champion program, the focus is on dissemination of information, whereas in the second, which is the course I run for infection control nurses, the focus is on communication. The next slide gives an overview of where these examples, which are the ones in green, fit into the broader picture of infection control education in Scotland, which currently has a very high profile. At the bottom of the steps is mandatory training, which is now a requirement for all staff in the National Health Service in Scotland who have contact with patients or equipment. This is delivered locally, for example, with fire training at induction. The next step, the Cleanliness Champion program, is for a nominated person in a healthcare setting to become a role model for good practice in their area. This is available on the web, and I'm going to be demonstrating some of that package. Above the champions, there may be link practitioners who are often trained by infection control teams and form a link between them and clinical areas. And at the top is infection control team training. And in my second example, I'm going to outline how that's done at the University of Dundee. So if we go to the next slide, in this first example, I want to demonstrate how the web can be used to deliver education to a large number of people all over Scotland, and to demonstrate some of the benefits that come with being online. If we go on to the next slide, this introduces the Cleanliness Championship Programme, which is my first example. It began in April 2002 when the government, the Scottish Executive, asked NHS Education Scotland to produce a web package to train one nurse in every ward and clinical unit in the country in infection control. This was later extended to other healthcare workers and the independent and voluntary sectors. And I was seconded to NHS Education Scotland to help produce that package. The champion would be aware of good practice in infection control, act as a role model for other staff, and promote a safety culture of safe practice and a safe environment. The requirement was therefore for something available in the workplace for many different types of staff and clinical settings. Educationally, there was a need to deliver knowledge underpinning safe practice, but also, as is common in infection control education, to raise awareness of the dangers of poor practice to patients and staff, and to motivate staff to change their practice and comply with policy. So we were looking to change knowledge, skills and attitudes with any theory very closely applied to practice. This next slide shows a page from the website. Because we know that some staff are inexperienced with computers or even a bit nervous of using them, the package was designed to be as simple as possible to use and to look and feel friendly. There are 11 units, each of which begins with the learning outcomes for that unit. And as staff move through, the computer tracks their progress and marks their place. I'm going to give an overview of the materials, which are taken mainly from the unit on Sharp's disposal. If we go to the next slide, each unit contains theoretical content. However, because it's difficult to read large blocks of text on a screen, the content had to be made as concise as possible and split into manageable chunks. As shown on the next slide, one of the benefits of being online is that you don't need to provide all the content that anyone might conceivably want to know. You can take students to other sites anywhere on the web. And we did this in this program for several reasons. Some web links, such as this real-life story, are for online activities. This link gives a true account of a nurse who became HIV positive following a needle stick injury. This gives a much more powerful message on the dangers of sharps than a page of text. We also link to BBC news reports on the dangers of healthcare-associated infection, including accounts from patients and their relatives. Students were asked to think about infection, read the articles, then see if their opinions had changed. This can widen horizons and give new perspectives. It also gives the ability to change links to reflect current news stories and topical issues, thus keeping relevant and up to date. This is therefore using ICT to access information, but more importantly, to deliver a message that is meaningful to the student. And this is a form of interaction with the material. Links are also given for further information for students who'd like to examine the area in a little more depth. The sites have been chosen to be quality sites that can be safely explored in other areas of the student's choosing, such as the Public Health Laboratory Service site or NHS Direct. Most units also have a key online article, often from the Nursing Times or the Nursing Standard, and these can be collected together to build a resource pack for teaching colleagues. The next slide shows another benefit of technology. Being online allows the student to interact with the screen. Something happens in response to their actions. At its simplest, the student is given a question and asked to type the answer in a box, with feedback being given on the next page. This is often to help recall their prior knowledge. On the screen at the moment is one of several activities where pictures are used to ask students to identify common areas of bad practice. In this case, clicking on the right parts of the picture gives them a close-up of problem areas. There's also a game in the unit on waste disposal, where students have to drag an item of waste into the correct bin against the clock. This is a way of teaching a very dry subject in a way that's fun and memorable. So being online gives the ability to use these multimedia. The next slide gives examples of the use of graphics, both to model good practice and to reinforce key messages in the text. If we look at the picture on the right, again, the technology is simple, but the message communicated is deep. The next slide illustrates a benefit of technology that can't be done with plain text, or often even in the lecture theatre, which is the use of animation to teach good technique. Clicking the arrow on the left picture takes students through the hand washing sequence as fast as they like, as often as they like. You could, of course, also insert a short video clip. So the web is being used to deliver the learning material, but also to facilitate students engaging and interacting with the material as much as possible to promote learning. But what do they do with what they learn on the web? If we go to the next slide, at the end of each unit, students are given workplace activities, and there is a print button to allow them to take a copy back to their workplace with them. These activities focus on applying what they've learned online to practice and demonstrating competence. Commonly, they're asked to read their local policies and explain the reasons behind them to colleagues or to a mentor to reinforce their understanding. The next slide shows another common workplace activity. The majority of units ask the student to complete a small audit of practice or facilities in their clinical area using an audit tool provided, which is based on the content of that unit. The completed workplace activities, along with online activities, go into a folder of evidence of learning that the student can show a manager or a mentor to demonstrate what they've learned. Going on to the next slide. On returning to the computer after completing their workplace activities, they're asked to reflect on them and they're given feedback. For example, following audits, they're asked to identify one or two actions that they can take forward to improve practice within the scope of their role and to put this in their folder of evidence. They then move on to the next unit. So although the content is delivered by e-learning, this is very much what's termed a blended approach because it's integrated with work-based learning. This next slide shows the learning process for an individual unit. So firstly, students read material on the screen. Then they interact with that material. For example, they write some notes or they play a game. Next, they're asked to reflect on what they've done or on the feedback that they've been given. At the end of the unit, they go into the workplace and apply what they've learned to practice, often with the support of a mentor. When they come back to the computer, they review what they've learned in the workplace and record what they've learned in their folder of evidence. They then reflect on what they've learned and move on to the next unit. Going to the next slide, just to summarize this example of e-learning, What are the benefits from this kind of program? Firstly, there are those of accessibility to large numbers of people at a time in urban or rural settings without them having to leave the workplace. The student may or may not have some choice over when and where they study, but certainly once they've logged on, they can progress at a pace that suits them and they can review the material as many times as they like. Being online also has advantages to teaching in that students can interact with the material and they can get feedback. The ability to use graphics, videos, games, and to make things happen on the screen, as well as plain text, means that it suits different learning styles and is less threatening to people that have been away from education for a long time. I'd like to suggest it's also more enjoyable and therefore more memorable. In addition, being online means that material can be changed instantly without reprinting, and also means that all the resources of the internet are available. But if we look at the next slide, there are, of course, challenges. Without appropriate IT facilities and support, learning can be memorable for all the wrong reasons, and it can be frustrating to learning. Students also need to have a degree of self-direction and motivation if they're going to work through an online program on their own. To address these issues, the next slide shows some of the support that needed to be built into this program. So these are the supporting materials. At a practical level, students need a username and a password. They need to go through some kind of registration process. We also provide a CD-ROM with software required for the website, like Acrobat Reader and Internet Explorer. Inside the CD-ROM slips a little Getting Started guide, which takes students through how to access the material using pictures from the site. There's also a guide to the program for students and mentors. These are also available online, but it's a good principle that any large amount of text or anything that acts as a reference should also be provided in print form. Not shown here, but at an earlier stage of the development, was an implementation guide for NHS organisations to help them prepare for the programme. For example, to plan for the availability of IT facilities and support, and to put resources in place to support the students and the mentors. And there's also central support at NHS Education Scotland in the form of a practice education coordinator. There are also paper and CD-ROM versions of the material, which are available for anyone who really can't use the web version. So this all took a year's development to put the program together. And a project like this is a big undertaking, as you can see. But currently, there's over 1,000 students enrolled in the program, and the feedback has been good, and anecdotally suggests that the champions are having an impact on practice. So this is an example of a large-scale e-learning project aimed at delivering the material to a large number of students studying on their own. The next slide moves on to my second example. In contrast, this second example is aimed at a small group of students, about 20 per module, who already have learning materials in paper form, and this use of technology is to enable communication, and thus interaction with tutors and with their fellow students, who are situated across the UK and abroad. Looking at the next slide, we're also trying to achieve something very different educationally. Students are usually infection control nurses newly in post in acute or primary care settings, nurses in clinical areas wanting to move into infection control in the future, or those who have infection control as part of their remit, for example, public health nurses. The aim is to be able to practice as a specialist practitioner in their area in the field of infection control, in these kinds of functions: clinical expert, consultant, researcher, educator, change agent, advocate, clinical auditor, leader, manager, and accountable practitioner. Quite a list. And this requires more than the acquisition of knowledge. It requires the ability to apply and use it in many different scenarios where the answers are frequently not black and white and rarely in a textbook. This next slide shows how the program is put together to achieve this. The program takes 2 years, with the 2 modules in infection control running over the length of each year, alongside more generic modules, such as learning and teaching, ethics and professional and legal practice, and research. Going to the next slide, these were the program requirements. To teach specialist nursing practice at a distance, and to empower nurses to use higher levels of judgment, discretion, and decision making, which is what our national regulatory body, the NMC, states as the hallmark of a specialist practitioner. So how can we do that at a distance? Our answer was to use our virtual learning environment, VLE, which is called Blackboard. Blackboard has the facility to add content and resources such as web links, but most importantly, has a discussion board that enables student-to-student and student-to-tutor discussion. And the next slide looks at the possibilities of using the VLE in a bit more detail. So the use of the VLE greatly expands the educational possibilities to allow situated learning, where learning occurs in the context in which it is to be applied, and collaborative and constructivist learning, where students construct meaning based on their own experience in discussion with others. So the aim was to facilitate constructivist and collaborative learning experiences, such as PBL, problem-based learning, situated in the practice context. And I'll give an example of PBL shortly. The benefits of this approach are that students learn from each other's experiences in multiple perspectives, in different practice settings. They develop metacognitive skills, and they learn in the context in which knowledge needs to be applied in real-life situations, along with many transferable skills, such as learning to learn, exposure to constructive criticism and alternative viewpoints, reflecting on their own practice, collaborative working and social negotiation, all of which are required to practice at this level. A simple example is where they tell us how they would deal with a situation in their practice, perhaps according to their policy, and somebody else in a different hospital or country says, "But we don't do it that way." That requires the student to reflect on their practice, examine their knowledge base, find out more information, and either defend their position, negotiate a compromise, or, frequently, come to a shared understanding of the core principles and how these might be interpreted differently in different situations. That's a process that can then be applied in many other situations in the workplace. Moving on to the next slide. The second aim of bringing students together online is to develop a community of practice, which is a group of people who share a concern and who deepen their knowledge and expertise by interacting on an ongoing basis. The philosophy underpinning this is very much aligned to situated learning and constructivism, and is that in the real world, we learn most in the process of becoming part of a community and contributing to what it's doing, such that learning is really a byproduct of interacting with others at work, at home, or, for example, the sports club. From this dialogue and working together with peers and experts comes other benefits, such as modelling the role and language of specialist practitioners, and changes in the student's identity from being in that company. So, from interacting with other students, some with more experience and with the tutors, students begin to talk the talk and walk the walk. Looking at the next slide, just to summarize the pedagogy, the learning theory, an enormous benefit of ICT to education is the ability to communicate, and more than that, to share learning in a community where everyone learns from each other and each can learn far more than on their own. So how do we do this? Let's look at the next slide. What we do is use practice-focused activities and authentic tasks. So we engage the students in activities where knowledge needs to be applied to practice, where experiences can be shared, and often where there's no right answer. For example, interpretation of legislation or guidance, practice scenarios, identifying good and bad practice from photos, critiquing each other's seminar presentations, sharing past experiences, and problem-based learning. And I'm going to illustrate some of these. In terms of the technology, you'll recognize the use of graphics, multimedia, and web links as similar to the Champions e-learning package. But the difference here is that the students interact with each other and the tutors, not with the material. The next slide shows what Blackboard looks like for those that aren't familiar with it. On the front, there's an announcements page, as you can see, and different content areas can be selected from buttons down on the left-hand side. In there are photos and contact details of the tutors. And for the first activity, we ask students to say a little bit about themselves, to get to know each other, and to get used to the environment. We then move progressively from activities designed to share knowledge to those designed to create knowledge. On the next slide is an example of a practice scenario, and I'll pause for a moment to let you read it. So after reading a guidance document on the web, students are asked to put their risk assessment of the situation on the discussion board, where they'll see other students' assessment of the same situation, which of course won't necessarily be the same, promoting discussion. Going to the next slide. Being online allows students to give seminar presentations and to take comments and questions from each other on the discussion board. This example is from an infection control nurse in the prison service. Being exposed to a range of practice settings like this helps students to think outside of their own areas. On the next slide, this is an activity to identify bad decontamination practice in different settings. This one is a GP surgery. Working together, the total number of problems identified will be greater than a student working on their own. The next slide shows a discussion board and my initial question in a problem-based learning scenario on ectoparasites, which turned out to be scabies. And what you can see beneath are the students' replies. You can see that in the small section I've managed to show, that 8 students have already contributed, some more than once. That's to say the students are responding to each other, they're not responding to me. If we go to the next slide, this is the problem or trigger that the students are given, and I'll pause for a moment to let you have a look at that. So from the trigger, the students need to identify their individual learning needs, and then as a group come to a decision on what to do in that situation. So does it work? Can you facilitate collaborative, situated learning online at a distance? Moving on to the next slide. These have been identified in the literature as the hallmarks of a good online collaborative classroom in a community of practice. And I'm going to use examples from the Scabies PBL discussion forum to illustrate each of these in turn. So on the next slide, firstly, active interaction involving both course content and personal communication, as shown by the student comment, if you'd like to have a look at that. So the student says, I could share personal experience on this as one of the many healthcare professionals who has acquired scabies, which was misdiagnosed by my GP. As scabies carries a social stigma, as we know, this also demonstrates the trust that has developed within the group. If we go to the next slide, secondly, collaborative learning evidenced by comments directed primarily student to student rather than student to instructor, as we could see on the previous slide of the discussion board. So, for example, hi Maria, yes, I totally agree with you. Having previously worked in dermatology, I feel skin conditions of any sort are commonly misdiagnosed. By now, the students are confident in their ability to and the value of discussing with each other, and very rarely do I need to intervene. The students also giving a perspective that I can't give and the other students will benefit from, that of someone who's worked in dermatology. And on the next slide, socially constructed meaning evidenced by agreement or questioning with the intent to achieve agreement on issues of meaning. This goes a bit deeper as students start to challenge each other and the textbooks to come to an agreement on what they believe and how to act, as shown on this next slide. Here students are trying to decide whether or not to isolate a patient with scabies, and quite a strong argument has developed. I'll pause for a moment in case you'd like to read it. This shows a mix of using the literature with student 2 quoting a reference and also experience with student 3 explaining the reaction that occurs when scabies is diagnosed. It also shows the development of identity in the role and social negotiation skills, with student 3 saying, surely it's our role to look at the evidence and formulate reasoned and reasonable plans. Moving to the next slide, students help each other by sharing resources. Here's something found on the web, but often policies or tools that they've developed in their own areas that they're willing to share with others. And as shown on the next slide, they help each other learn and develop. Expressions of support and encouragement exchanged between students, as well as a willingness to critically evaluate the work of others. And I'll just pause and let you read that. So here, Carrie is saying, thanks, that was helpful. But you missed something I feel is a big issue. How did the scabies spread to healthcare staff in the first place? Were they washing their hands? And Alison is saying, thank you, I hadn't thought about that. And that really is the rationale for collaborative learning. And they went on from there to explore the role of hand decontamination in the transmission of scabies. Moving on to the next slide. To summarize that second example, I hope it illustrated the type of collaborative learning that can occur online through the use of ICT, such as Blackboard. Education has moved on from the belief that there's a body of knowledge that needs to be transmitted from the expert to the student to be memorized and regurgitated. Healthcare and the way we practice has moved on too. And even with all the benefits of the internet, it's impossible to deliver all the information that a student will ever need to know. Fortunately, the internet is enabling us to do far more educationally than just deliver information. There are many e-learning packages that are just sets of lecture notes put on the web, but that fails to exploit the potential of e-learning, which I hope I've demonstrated, particularly those of interaction with the material and interaction with a community of other learners. If you want to have a quick look at this diagram, this diagram summarizes good practice in online distance learning, which is now about interaction and feedback, facilitation and collaboration. Going to the next slide. Is it better than face-to-face? It can be. These are some of the advantages. The time delay between messages on the discussion boards allows thoughtful, considered replies. For example, students can go away and look something up before replying. It's also been shown that there is more equal participation than face-to-face. There isn't one student that always jumps in with the answer. Shy students get a chance to contribute, and there are less differences around gender and ethnicity. There's also a permanent record of what was said that students can refer to in their revision, and multiple threads of a conversation can go on simultaneously, and they can go on for as long as wanted. However, because you don't get the visual and auditory cues to meaning that you get in a face-to-face classroom, misunderstandings can arise. So interaction has to be designed for. It needs to be well planned and well supervised. So is it just for students? If we go to the next slide. No, I don't think so. All the principles of adult learning I've outlined apply to all of us, and we continue to learn and continue to need to learn throughout our working lives. In reality, our knowledge needs in our jobs are very unlike what we experienced in classrooms. Our needs aren't clear. They arise as concerns and frustrations present themselves in our work. So there's a need for continual learning. So what can we do about that? Let's look at the next slide. For my last few slides, I want to outline briefly how NHS Scotland is addressing the continuing education needs of infection control practitioners through the NHS Scotland e-library knowledge portals. The e-library is a virtual library which is available on the internet to anyone working in or with NHS Scotland. Within the e-library are knowledge portals or gateways in the Scottish priority areas, which are cancer, heart disease and mental health. And work began in April on a portal for healthcare-associated infection. Portals combine all the areas I've discussed: information delivery, communication and education. What they do is provide focused content whose quality has been evaluated, and they provide interactivity. They also support online communities, allowing them to share knowledge and good practice, with the essential aim of supporting the application of knowledge to improve patient care. The next slide gives an example of this. This shows the cancer portal and gives an idea of the kind of facility that will be available, such as NHS publications and guidance, evidence-based practice, support groups and professional associations, all of which are gathered together and accessible for one point. And I'll give you a moment just to have a look around at some of the kinds of things that are likely to be available on the Healthcare Associated Infection portal. You'll see that down the left are options for regular updates, for example, updates from the journals, and also areas for knowledge exchange and discussion forums to share good practice and extend knowledge to improve practice. And it's hoped that this healthcare-associated infection portal will be available in about 6 months' time. Moving to my final slide. To conclude, what we're increasingly talking about now isn't information transmission, it's knowledge management, which is capturing knowledge that's important, working with it, and making it available where it's needed so it can be used to improve care. Information and communications technology is playing an increasingly major role in this, in facilitating learning that's relevant to practice at a basic level such as the champions and right through to experienced practitioners in their work. It's a tool that has huge potential to influence practice if we harness it well, and I hope the examples of what we're doing in Scotland give some idea of the potential benefits of ICT to infection control education. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen, for that. And before we carry on, I would like to acknowledge the effort of Paul Weaving for putting this together. He's done an outstanding job, along with Kate and Stephen from ComTech. Karen, could I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Much of what you have online, is that accessible by people who have low-speed internet access, or do they require a high-speed broadband connection?
No, everything's available for low-speed access. We've taken that into consideration with the design. Obviously, large files take a long time to download, so we've tried to keep things as simple as we possibly can. That's one of the reasons, for example, we haven't got a video clip in there. So it is designed to be accessible to all types of computer systems that people are using in different sites across Scotland.
I'll take this opportunity on Paul's behalf to thank Karen for an outstanding presentation. And certainly, Karen, there's an awful lot in there. You guys are doing an outstanding job at what you're doing. Thank you very much for that. And to the audience in Belfast, thank you for having us for this time today. I would like to bring greetings to you on behalf of the Community and Hospital Infection Control Association in Canada. And on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Sayed Tatar, we've been honored to be invited to join you on this day. The British Teleclass series is made possible through the effort of Vanessa York, Maria Benelik, and Lauren Tu. And if you see one of these three people at the conference, please give them a word of thanks and ask them what's coming up in the British Teleclass series this year and next year. Karen, again, thank you very much for a tremendous presentation. And to all who have joined us this morning, thank you very much. Have a very good day. Goodbye.